you. The recording is now started. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'll do the roll call for you, Stefan.
Thanks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the council call on the 12th of April. Jeff Newman. Ching Chow.
I'm here.
Jonathan Robinson. Mason Cole.
Here.
Stefan Van Velde.
Yes.
Thomas Rickett.
Present.
We have apologies from Johaf Kieran, and he has given his proxy to Stefan Van Gelder. Zahi Jamil.
Here.
John Berard.
Here.
Brian Winterfeld, not on the call yet. David Taylor, not on the call yet. Osvaldo Nuova is absent and has given his proxy to Wolf Ulrich Knoben. Bill Drake?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes.
Wendy Salzer?
Yes.
Mary Young? Mary Wong is not on the call yet. Rafik Damak?
Yes.
Joy Lidicote?
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter is absent, and as far as I know, he has not sent in a proxy form. Has anyone received it, perhaps, in the meantime?
Glenn, this is Bill. I think we have a time zone problem, and I'm hoping it will be sent by somebody soon.
Thank you, Bill. Mary Wong?
Yes, I'm here again.
Thank you. Lanre Ajayi?
Yes.
Carlos Aguirre?
Yes, here.
Ellen Greenberg?
Present.
Hanchan Lee? Hanchan, we are going to call out to because he has some connectivity difficulties. For staff, we have Liz Gaster, David Olive, Rob Hogarth, Margie Milam, Marika Koenix, Julie Headland, Brian Peck, Barry Cobb, myself, Glenda Saint-Jury, and have I left off anyone? Thank you, Stefan. You, over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Welcome, everyone, to this GNSO Council call on April the 12th. I actually thought of an April Fool's joke, which was to do a council call today, but someone took me seriously. So, sorry about that. I know we're all very busy, but unfortunately, this has to fit into everybody's agenda. Obviously, the last day of the new GTLDs, it is difficult, so we particularly appreciate everybody's participation today. Can I ask at this time if there are any updates to statements of interest, please? Hearing none,
Stefan, this is John. I did recently modify my statement of interest to indicate that I do have a client that is applying for a new GTLD.
Thank you, John. Has that been sent in to Glenn?
Stefan, this is Zahid. I think the same statement as well.
Did you both send those?
No, I haven't sent that in.
I modified my statement of interest on the wiki.
Okay, great.
Thanks, John. I'll note that in the minutes.
Thank you.
And Zahid as well, Glenn, please.
Thank you.
Any more updates to SOIs? No. Any requests to review or amend the agenda, please, at this time? Apparently not. You have the link to the minutes of the previous meetings and the date of approval, which is today, I think, for those minutes. As usual, I will draw your attention to the GNSO pending projects list, In this case today, I think Liz has an update that she'd like to provide to the council. So at this stage, can I pass this over to you, Liz, and ask you to update us as you wish?
Thank you, Stefan. Good day, everyone. Just very briefly, two quick points on the pending project list. There is an item on who has access that came out of the Registration of Abuse Policy's final report, remaining recommendations. It's on the last page, page 16 of the latest pending project list. And just a note that I think we're still waiting for feedback, I think, from the ISPs, and that's fine, but just wanted to update everyone that that's still an open item. And then also the ESSAC and the GNSO, as you know, completed their final report on internationalized WHOIS registration data. So at Costa Rica, you all decided that you wanted to coordinate submitting this report with the ESSAC to the board. So staff will be preparing a motion for the next meeting for your review to actually formally consider that report and hopefully move it along to the board in coordination with the ESSAC. That's all I have, Stefan, thanks. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks a lot, Liz, and thanks to Julie for looking after that IRD work. On the WHOIS access, thank you for reminding us. This was a consent agenda item a while back. There was an objection from the ISPs, so perhaps we can ask, as you said, for the ISPs to update us on their discussions on this topic at some stage so that it doesn't fall to the wayside. Let's move to item two. There's no items on the consent agenda today, so we can move straight into item three, which is the FIC, who is policy development process item, and you will all no doubt remember that as a council we have expressed the opinion that it may not be timely to move forward with this PDP at this stage. As I explained on the list, we've had a lot of discussions certainly in the leadership team, and we've discussed with general counsel as well on the threshold for this motion. There's no specific threshold for a motion to delay a PDP in our rules at the moment. So what we've decided to do is to apply the standard simple majority threshold, and also perhaps to raise this issue just as an FYI, basically, to the SCI, so that maybe the rules can either be adapted to reflect the fact that we haven't prepared for this, or we don't have a specific rule item for this, or just to confirm that absent any specific item, what it says in the bylaws, which is that if there's no specific rule, then we default back to the threshold that I just mentioned. Perhaps we can just confirm that. So some kind of guidance there perhaps would be useful. And I'll let Wolf, as chair of that group, write that down and tell us if the group wishes to work on this or not. And on the motion itself, let me, before I read the motion, ask Jeff wanted to introduce the motion, so he made that request, so let's honour that and ask Jeff to speak.
Stefan, briefly, it's Jonathan. Hi, Stefan, it's Jonathan. I'm on the call just to let you know. I'm sorry if I'm late.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. You actually gave a lot of the introduction I was going to give, but the other thing I wanted to add was that there was a couple questions back and forth as to why we actually need this as a motion. And I think because, you know, if you look at the PDP as it exists now, you look at the bylaws and you look at the PDP manual, initiating the PDP does initiate some of the steps that you're that are required, including development of a charter and including other timelines that are set forth. So we thought that, as Stefan said in discussion with the general counsel, and also discussion amongst the leadership, that if we are going to plan to delay this motion, that we do so because of we do so affirmatively in a motion as opposed to a wrap-up session.
Thanks, Jeff. So let me read the motion, which was made by myself and seconded by Yoav. Whereas the Genocide Council requested an issue report on SICK, who is at its meeting on 22nd September 2011, there's a link provided. Whereas a preliminary issue report on SICK, who is, was prepared by staff and posted on 21 November 2011 for public comment, and there's a link provided. Whereas a final issue report on SICK, who is, was published on February the 2nd, 2012, link provided. Whereas the final issue report recommends that the GNSO Council proceed with a policy development process limited to consideration of the issues discussed in this report, and the General Counsel of ICANN has indicated the topic is properly within the scope of the ICANN policy process and within the scope of the GNSO. Whereas the GNSO Council initiated a PDP at its meeting of 14 March 2012, link provided. Whereas at its wrap-up session on 15th of March of this year, also taking into account the current workload of the GNSO community, the GNSO Council voiced support for a delay in the start of the PDP until contract negotiations on the .com agreement are complete. As the results of that negotiation may determine whether a PDP on SICK who is still required, therefore, be it resolved, the next step, creating a drafting team to develop a charter of the SICK who is PDP, will be delayed until the COM negotiations have been completed by 30th of November 2012. And we do have amendments that have been proposed, I believe, by Jonathan. Those amendments are on the wiki. Jonathan, there was some back and forth on your amendments, so are we sure that the version that now appears on the wiki is the final one?
Yes, Stefan, as far as I can see, that looks, it covers the issue of removing a specific reference to the .com agreement, although it doesn't currently have a date on it, I don't think. And there was some discussion about a date. It deals with the staff and GNSO resources, I believe. Doesn't seem to have a date certain in there, and some people were arguing for a date certain.
So let me read what the amendments that you had, the two additional phrases. The last whereas clause, whereas at its wrap-up session on 15th March, taking into account the current workload of the GNSO community, GNSO Council voice support for delaying the start of the PDP until ICANN staff, this is the amendment, and GNSO resources are available to deal with this. And on the resolved, the next step, creating a DT to develop a charter of the SICK who is PDP, will be delayed until, this is the amendment, ICANN staff and GNSO resources are available to deal with this. So there is... Your amendments have not removed mention of the .com negotiations and ICANN staff, and there is no date. So if that was your intent, perhaps while I open it up for discussion, we can you can tweak that and then submit that as amendments to myself so I can accept it as friendly or not. Or do you consider that these amendments are what you want?
Stefan, I'm struggling a little bit to see whether the full reference to the .com agreement seems to have gone. Is that correct?
I'm reading through it. Yes, it has gone.
Yes, and
that is dealt with.
I think there's really the issue I'm aware of is not whether this now accurately represents what I proposed, but that there was further discussion on list, and that further discussion focused around either removing specific reference to ICANN staff or probably making it clearer, so the wording might say something like, until both ICANN staff and GNSO resources are available to deal with this. In other words, it makes sure that it covers both of those. And then the second issue was that some raised the concern that this was sort of kicking it into indefinite territory, and there was a request for a date certain. So whilst this reflects accurately what I proposed, it doesn't fully reflect later discussion. So that's really why I have a minor concern. I could adapt it, but it would be, I guess, it's useful to hear if those.
Yeah. Let me accept your amendment as friendly on behalf of both myself and Yoav, seeing I have as proxy, and let's open it up for discussion. And if there are any further tweaks, those can be proposed as friendly amendments. So.
Thank you.
Yep. Does anyone want to make any comments at this time? John.
Okay. So who is it that gets to determine when ICANN staff and GNSO resources are available?
You can stop
us as a council, I would say.
Is that as long as that's everybody's understanding, that's fine. But I mean, you know, we have had meetings where we've taken input from staff as to inelastic nature of their ability to handle more stuff. So I'm just curious as to how we are really ever going to know. How are we going to measure the availability of staff and resources? That's all. It just seems a little speculative as opposed to the specific of the negotiations. But on the other hand, I don't support linking the motion to the .com negotiations. So I'm sort of caught betwixt and between. I think on balance, I prefer as it's been amended, but I am unsure as to how we will know when it is time.
Okay. You make a good point, and I'm sure you've all seen some of the discussion that happened after Jonathan proposed his amendment. Liz did raise the staff resource point, asking that staff, the lack of staff resource not be cited as a reason for delay. And I expressed some surprise at this because Liz has been very vocal in telling us in the past about the staff resource problem. Liz did send a message this morning explaining that Marika would have bandwidth to take this on. And so I think that answers your first point and may require us to remove the reference to ICANN staff. We have some clear direction there from staff that if the council decides for this work to be done now, then staff would be able to take this on. Liz, is that accurate?
Oh, yes, it is. Thank you.
Thank you. So perhaps John or someone else can propose another friendly amendment to just remove the reference to ICANN staff.
Stefan, just a brief point. Jonathan, I'd like to respond to that, if I may.
Go on.
Well, I suppose
on,
the concern there really is when and if staff resource is available, isn't the overall staff resource is available depending on what else staff is doing? So there's some sort of, and we've talked in the past about having a matrix of going off.
Jonathan, you're breaking up. Certainly for me. I don't know if anyone else can hear you properly, but
Let me try again.
The point you're making.
How is that, Stefan? Is it clear now?
Much better. Thank
Good.
You.
So the issue here is although it's clear in isolation that staff resource may be available, it's really in the context of what compromises are being made, the matrix of work, So it's great that, that Liz has made it clear that, staff resource could be made available or freed up or capable of doing this. But really, isn't the bigger picture that we need to assess the combination of resources and the combination of work that's being done at any given time and say, well, what are we prepared to compromise and that and work on it, or give up working on in order to do this work? So I would be in favor of the amendment saying until both staff and GNSO resources are available to do this, or something along those lines that recognizes that it's the composite of resources and in the priority context. So simply saying that staff resources available is very helpful, but it's not a necessary condition to doing the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's go back to the queue, and Alan, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. I don't support the amendment, but what I want to bring up is we seem to have some revisionist history that I unfortunately could not make it to the wrap-up meeting. I had a conflict, but the original motion said that factoring in workload, but the main concern voiced was that we not do this until the contract be revised, and we seem to have a revisionist history here of what happened at that meeting, and you know, I think it's fair game to propose changing the conclusion that therefore, but I'm not sure it's reasonable to change what the logic was and at which the concern was raised over. Thank you. Am I still here?
You are here, Stefan, are you still around?
Stefan got disconnected.
Okay. So I'll go on. This is Jeff. I'll just go on with my comment, and then when Stefan joins, I do want to obviously I support what Jonathan has the amendments Jonathan has brought up. The registries had a very long discussion on this, and it's very clear that the registries do not. For the topic, I'll talk about when we get to item number five, but the registries do not believe that the COM contract should be used as a mechanism to delay the PDP. VeriSign strongly believes that the PDP should happen right away, that they're in favor of a PDP right away. So even the registries are not of one mind on this, but I do think that, you know, I agree with Jonathan's point about both ICANN staff and GNSO resources need to be available. Although Liz did point out that ICANN staff could be made available now, the question, as Jonathan raised, is what are we giving up? And what are they going to say about the next item that we want to be addressed by staff? Will we have resources for both of those? So that's my concern. Has Stefan rejoined? Okay.
I'm trying to get him back on the line.
Okay. Jonathan, do you, you want an additional comment?
Thanks, Jeff. Yes, it's just a brief response to Alan. And Alan, the honest truth is I don't recall exactly how our conversation went in the GNSO, but reflecting what happened within the registries group, the stronger, the key concern for us was about a significant part of the discussion that took place previously in the registries group was all in and around the fact that this work would be done on affecting one of our members, and therefore we need to be very careful about when resources were directed towards this relative to something that affected all of our members or potentially a bigger community. So it's not an attempt to be revisionist, but rather to reflect if the two got juxtaposed in our later council conversations, you know, I my strongest theme in all of this has been ensure that I've been aware of on the registry things, to ensure that sufficient resources are available, and the .com negotiation was a secondary consideration, a sort of a context point, which is so just to indicate that it wasn't in any sense an attempt to be revisionist, but rather to reflect the history of the conversations in that. In the whole. Thanks.
And I'm back. was disconnected. Sorry about that, everybody. So I've missed a bit of the discussion that you've had. I hope I haven't missed too much of it. Jonathan, you've just spoken, so Wolf is next.
Thanks, Stefan and all. Yes, I would like to come back what John was saying. So I have also the feeling the amendment of the motion is a little bit too general, just saying to referring to availability of staff and GNSO resources and not fixing a date. So I wonder if you look to the first motion though, which says okay, until the .com negotiations have been completed by 30th of November. So why not just to delete the .com negotiations but leave the date in it? So it is not November. This gives us a certainty that that we have an imitation of that. If in case, you know, we have staff sources would be available before that date, that we could, then we could start as well before that date. But I would like to have a date in it so that, that we can be sure that we will start at a certain date. Thank you.
And I have Alan next.
Thank you. Two points. I agree with Wolf that I really think we need a way to get this back on the table. Otherwise, especially because we have a different threshold than the threshold needed to start the PDP, we have a way of indefinitely delaying something based on a rather nebulous concept of whether GNSO resources are available. And I don't have a clue how we gauge that. And the second is on the substance of the registry comment of we shouldn't be doing something based on a single registry member. If council will remember, domain tasting was addressed, although it affected other members, it was aimed at one registry member, and that was a proposal that was heavily, that was supported in general by the registries. So I think we have different set of rules that are either evolving over time or perhaps are being invoked based on the specific situation. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, Stefan. No, just agreeing there with Wolf and Alan that to have a date in there, because I think it's something which certainly we wouldn't want to see, that it's indefinitely delayed. And I don't know when GNSO has ever been fully, absolutely resourced so that we can do everything we want to do. So I think we're always going to have an issue whether we've got enough resources available. And as this is for WHOIS, I mean, certainly IPC and a lot of business are keen to see WHOIS, thick WHOIS across all registries. So that's certainly clearly our position. And anything which delays that possibility of those discussions seems a shame. So we're even in two minds on the whole motion. Part of us think we shouldn't delay it, so we wouldn't like this motion. And others think, well, yes, okay, let's see what's resolved in the .com. So that was put in there originally in the whereas, that until the .com agreements are complete. And that was my feeling, probably along with Alan's, when we had the breakout at the end of Costa Rica, that was one of the reasons. So I'm not sure about the revisionist comments as well and whether we're sort of changing things. But that was the thoughts. But certainly, whatever, we've got to have a date in there.
Yeah, can I suggest that I've heard several comments about having a date in there, but no one's proposed either a date or a friendly amendment to do that. So that's what we really need at this stage. Jonathan?
Yes, Stefan, that's exactly what I would propose as well. And it seems to me that the logical date is around the 30th of November, because as it so happens, that will deal with the .com issue without explicitly including it in the motion. So that would be what I would suggest, that we have something like 30th of November. So that I'll put that on the table as a suggestion.
That is in the motion that we have on the wiki as it is. Resolved, the next step, blah, 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 will be delayed until the .com negotiations have been completed by 30th of November 2012. Would someone like, I mean, when people are asking for a date, just so that I can understand, are they asking for an additional sentence that says the GNSO Council will consider this at its meeting following that date or something like that?
Yes, so Stefan, I'm not necessarily asking for the date to be removed. That date can stay. It's the specific reference to .com negotiation. So the date can stay. The reference to .com goes out.
Okay. Well, can you propose some text? Or let's just work through this. Resolved, the next step of the thick who is PDP will be delayed until 30th of November 2012.
Yes.
Wait a minute. When did it become why don't we just go? I'm sorry, I'm jumping the queue. I apologize.
Go on,
John. But if we can just, why don't we just adopt what I thought was a very sane offhand comment you just made, that we will delay it until the first GNSO Council meeting after the 30th of November.
That's fine. Are you suggesting that as an amendment?
Yes, I'm suggesting that as an amendment.
Okay. And I'm fine with accepting that as friendly. So, Marika, can you put that in? I know you're typing it now, so that's probably being done. So while that's happening, let me... Jeff, you're next.
Yeah, I'm not sure it needs to come back to the council at that point. So I'm not sure why we would add the reference to the meeting afterwards. You could just tell staff to just start it December 1st or take your next steps after that, because the next step is really for, I guess, maybe we do have to set up a drafting team for a charter. Maybe that's it. But why don't we just say we'll constitute a drafting team after November 30th?
I think it makes sense to take this back to the council, put it back on the council's, on the top of the council's pile, have them... the council of that time look at it and initiate proceedings there. I think if we say what John has just proposed and I've just accepted, that does the trick.
Also, even this is John again, even though the 30th is the date when the current .com contract expires, there is no guarantee that the new negotiations will be complete by that time.
Okay. Marika, are you able to modify what's on the wiki? Should I be looking at the wiki or what's on the in the Adobe?
This is Marika. I've modified it on the Adobe Connect.
So I can't see that mod.
If you scroll to the bottom, it's in the last resolved clause. It's a part in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Got you. Thank you very much. Okay, Jeff, are you still in the queue?
No, sorry.
John, are you?
Nope, sorry.
Thank you. Any further comments? Any opposition to a voice vote on this? Alan?
I'm sorry.
Stefan, it's Alan. I have my hand up.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I just have a question. Does that mean it's subject to another delay when it comes back to council?
That's for the council of the time to decide.
Okay, thank you.
Any opposition to a voice vote on this?
I'm sorry, Stefan, it's Liz. I just was going to mention that the ICANN staff language is still in the whereas clause.
Whereas?
Last whereas clause.
Well spotted. So we'd asked for, Jonathan had suggested in the start of the PDP until both ICANN staff and GNSO resources are available. So Marika, could you add a both? That's it. Thank you. And once again, any opposition to a voice vote on this? Glenn, please do a voice vote.
I will, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anybody opposed to the motion? Is anybody abstaining from the motion? Stefan, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks to everyone. Let's move on to item four then. And here we have another complicated situation because we have two motions on the table. Both are to request an issue report on the protection of names of IGOs under the new GTLD program. The first motion was made by Thomas. The second was made by Mary. Can I first of all ask if both movers of the motion are still making them? Has there been discussion between you two? Are we still looking at two motions? Thomas or Mary,
This is Thomas speaking. Stefan, thank you. We have been communicating in the meantime. Certainly, this is a crazy period of time to be working and, with the 12th approaching or now being well, we actually have been able to amalgamate the ideas of the motions into one, which is why I am withdrawing or request to withdraw my motion, so we only will have to deal with one motion. Nonetheless, if you permit, Stefan, I'd like to give a little bit of background information as to why I put this motion in the first place and what happened in the meantime. I think we all have vivid memories of the GNSO sessions, in particular the public session, where allegations have been made that the GNSO would not properly follow its bottom-up process and that due process and policies would be circumvented in the case of the IOCRC discussion. During my statement in this meeting, I made clear that to me, working on the IOCRC issue for the top level for the first round was an implementation detail that we have been working on following the board's resolution, but that everything exceeding that would actually require a proper bottom-up process. And I mentioned, for those who can remember, during that meeting that I would ask for the initiation of the PDP regarding this. Now, with the wording that I proposed for my motion, I tried to sort of create a catch-all, not only reflecting the now currently ongoing discussions about protections for the IOC and RCRC at the second level, but also to sort of respond to the continuously incoming requests by other third parties. And my idea was sort of to have a process, bottom-up, have an issue report prepared to see whether any such protection should be granted at all, and if so, what the eligibility criteria for these organizations would be. The reason for that being that I think that third-party requests will come in over and over again. I think that the GNSO needs to make its position very clear following the proper processes, and also remembering that there have been policy recommendations made by the GNSO where no such special protection was granted in the first place. And I think that, you know, since the board has sort of circumvented the GNSO recommendations by making the resolution that it has made in favor of the IOC or CRC, it needs to be made very firmly clear what the procedures are or how the GNSO is going to deal with such requests. Now, after I had sent out my draft motion, there have been some comments saying that there would be a danger in addressing the IGO specifically, that the route that such requests should take would be circumvented if the GNSO picks up these subjects directly. Also, a little bit of history was missing in the whereas clauses. By not mentioning explicitly the original GNSO recommendation. And so I entered into a communication with Mary, and I think that we've come up with a a proposal, or at least I'm going to suggest amendments to her motion to accommodate these concerns. And I don't know whether this has already been made available in the Adobe, but I'm sure that we'll have time to discuss these changes later on. I will ask Mary to accept my proposed changes as friendly, and in the light of this, I have now withdrawn my motion.
Thanks, Thomas. So we're just looking at Mary's motion. It is up on the wiki now on the Adobe as well. And if you have friendly amendments, can you just confirm that this is the motion as amended, or is this the original motion that we're looking at, Mary?
Stefan, this is actually the original motion. It's not the amended motion. I emailed it to Marika a few minutes ago, but she hasn't quite got it. So hopefully while that is making its way through cyberspace, can I just confirm what Thomas has said in terms of the process that we engaged in? Thank you, Stefan, for your reminder about the council's past resolution, and explain basically that I think it is quite obvious neither Thomas nor the NCSG in terms of these concepts was far apart at all. The amendments really pertain to us as NCSG wanting to include some mention of a concept that was proposed by our new member constituency, and that was the substance of the change. Marika, are you still waiting for the text?
Yes, and Mary, what I maybe can do is just upgrade you as a presenter, and then you can just copy and paste the new language into the note part. Maybe that's the quickest way.
Okay.
While you're working that through that, and thanks to you both for helping out with that, the first step we should do here is to ask if there is a second for this motion. This motion has not been seconded. If it isn't, we will not be able to consider it.
Stefan, this is Zahid. I'm not on the Adobe Wiki. Is it possible for the new motion to be emailed to the council list so we can have a look at it?
Is it? I don't have the text, so that's why I'm not answering, Zahid.
Zahid, I can email that to everybody, but I'm not sure why it's not going through. It might be my email service.
What we do is, I mean, that's also why we read out motions when we consider them. So perhaps I can ask Mary at this stage to read out the definitive version of the motion that you'd like us to consider, and then go back to the council and ask if there's a second.
I can do that. It's not very long. Shall I start?
Yes, please.
Whereas on September 7, 2007, the GNSO Council approved by supermajority vote a PDP on new GTLD with a number of recommendations, none of which afforded special protection to specific applicants. Whereas the GNSO Council has the resolution approving new protections for the first round of the new GTLD program, as recommended by the GNSO's International Olympic Committee and Red Cross Red Crescent drafting team. Whereas this resolution indicated that further discussions were required on associated policies relating to protection for certain international organizations at the second level, if any. Whereas comments have been received coincident with the motion that included requests from international governmental organizations requesting the same protective rights as those for the IOC and RCRC for the current and future rounds of the new GTLD program. And whereas various possible criteria for the grant of protective rights to such organizations was suggested at the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica, including one based on the concept of international legal personality. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the GNSO Council requests an issue report to precede the possibility of a PDP that covers the following issues. First, definition of the type of organizations that should receive special protection at the top and second levels, if any, and policies required to protect such organizations at the top and second level. Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't tell because we don't have the final text on the wiki, so...
I'm going to try and email it to everyone. Is that...
Well, you've been made a presenter. Does that allow you to upload the text?
I can't find the pod, so it's probably my problem.
Mary, it's just where the mouse is now in the middle pod. You just copy and paste it in there. I can just remove what is there now, and then you just... Copy and paste whatever your language is in there.
Yeah. That's great. Well done. Thank you very much. That's very useful. So can I ask if anyone wants to second this motion?
I do. This is Thomas.
Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we can go into the discussion of the motion itself, and I will... open up the discussion on behalf of the registrars. And I guess what I'd like to ask you, Mary, in light of the comments that both the registrars made in Costa Rica and your group made, I fail to understand the logic of doing this type of work now, based on the fact that we were all very clearly told by the GAC that these, that the IOC and the YARC were special cases, that there were no other organizations anywhere that were deserving of the same level of protection, and that this is why we should entertain the work that was being done at the time by the drafting team. So I fail to understand why, after hearing your opposition to the motion that was passed in Costa Rica, which turned into an abstention afterwards, and hearing comments such as the ones that we made before taking the vote, why we would now go into a process on trying to determine whether other organizations deserve this or some type of level of protection. Sorry for the long-winded question, but I'm sure you get the point.
I do. Should I answer it or Jeff has his hand
up? Yes. Well, can you answer it and then we'll go back to Jeff?
Right, and I'm not sure that this would be a complete answer. I think there are others on the council and my group that might be able to supplement what I'm going to say. First of all, I think recalling what Thomas said just a minute ago, that some of us were concerned about essentially the possibility of going around the council, and that possibility was something that we had, as our group had talked about in Costa Rica, and to us that remains alive. The other is that, as Thomas said, we may be wrong, but we don't think we are, that these requests will not go away. So having made that special exception for those two organizations, and even understanding that the GAC has said at that time that this is a special case, then we had the letter and then the request from the board. It just seems to me that as a council, to first of all safeguard our position as but on behalf of the GNSO as policy development managers and developers, and secondly, just to make sure that we do our work correctly, that the issue report seems the way to go. I mean, it doesn't obviously predetermine that we're going to have a PDP, but it would certainly give us a better understanding of the landscape as is right now. There's probably a few other reasons, but those are just two of the main ones. And certainly the third, from the NCSG's perspective, as I've mentioned, is that our new member constituency has started to get involved in policy and other issues, and this is the first one, as I recall, I could be wrong, so someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but where they have actually made a proposal. And so we, as councillors for the entire SG, feel it incumbent on us to bring it to the council and so encourage further participation and discussion.
Thanks, Mary. So at this time, perhaps I should add that we've had communication from the board that they have confirmed receipt of our recommendation to protect certain names from the RC and the IOC names at the top level. These are the recommendations, obviously, that were sent following the motion that was passed in Costa Rica. They understand these recommendations. They have decided not to make any changes to the applicant guidebook at this time. And we are told that there will be a resolution on this posted very soon. If not, I don't know if it will be done today, but this is some information that I received this morning and that I wanted the council to be made aware of. And now let's go back to the queue, and Jeff is next.
Thanks, Stefan. Thanks, Mary, for making some of the changes. And I do appreciate the new constituency weighing in. I think that's great. So the one question I have is I still don't remember what the international legal personality test was or what that concept was. But in any event, that seems more like the solution or a proposed solution as opposed to presenting the issue. Would you accept it as friendly if you just ended the sentence at and whereas various possible criteria for the grant of protective rights to such organizations was suggested at the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica and just ended there?
May I respond, Stefan?
Yes, you may.
This is difficult. I mean, Jeff, I understand the concept, and I certainly understand the sentiment. I should say that our member constituency, at least those that have been discussing this with the councillors on their behalf, wanted that specific mention in it. And I'm going to look to my fellow councillors to just figure out if we can find a way out of this. One thing I should note is that the current whereas clause, the one that you just read out, Jeff, it's a bit of a change from the original because it's been expanded to just try to be more neutral to say, you know, there's a number of different criteria and just including this one. Perhaps what I could suggest is, Jeff and others, if you're comfortable with at least a mention of it, maybe we could amend the way it's said just to make sure that it's not presupposing any sort of direction or discussion of that concept. Does that make sense?
It does, and if I can respond.
Yes, please, Jeff.
Yeah, I think the issue is that I just don't know what that is, and I don't know if half the council knows what that is. And so I have no problem with ICANN staff coming to you and asking you guys what it was that was presented and looking that up and then including that in the issue report. It almost sounds like a GNSO endorsement of a topic that I don't recall what it is. So unless we want to define it here, which I'm not sure is easily definable, I really prefer that to be taken out, almost to the point where it's almost, I don't want to have a hostile amendment because I support the rest of it, but it's to that point where unless we define it, I don't think it should be mentioned.
Stefan, can I try to help out here? Jeff, and, you know, this is interesting because that discussion has started to take place on the NCSG listserv, and there are others more qualified than myself to define it. For example, there are a number of academic papers that the NPOC has referred our membership to, and that's been quite an interesting discussion. Others have said it should be UN plus 10, so basically UN-type organization. So therefore, you're right. I mean, there's not necessarily one thing that we can say is the definition. May I suggest, at least for now, if we go back to the whereas clause, that last one we're talking about, for the last part, can we add the word and, the article and, A-N, saying including one based on the concept of an international legal personality?
I'd like to hear from the rest of the council on that. I don't know.
What's the situation here? Have you, Jeff, proposed a friendly amendment, and have you, Mary, refused it as friendly?
I did propose a friendly amendment to end the warehouse clause at ICANN meeting in Costa Rica, period.
And, Mary, you do not consider that friendly. Is that correct?
Well,
it's either yes or no at this stage.
Okay, I'm just discussing this with my fellow counselors. We're doing this quickly. So, actually, Stefan, Jeff, and everybody, I will accept that amendment as friendly so we can strike that mention of international legal personality.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
That's just been done. Thank you, Marika. We have Margie, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, but just get me at the end of the queue.
Okay, in that case, John?
This is John Berard. I think my anxiety over this motion is rooted in the fact that we seem to be trying to do the GAC's job here. I'm particularly concerned with the suggestion that we're acting on the basis of things like requests from international governmental organizations. I hearken back, as I said in my email to you guys, that we did at the end of the Costa Rica meeting suggest that it really was say that the process was that the intergovernmental organization should go to the GAC. The GAC could then consider advice of the board. If the board thought it was effective policy, they could direct it to the GNSO Council. Now we seem to be, you know, jumping the shark on all that stuff. I just think that this puts us in an awkward position. And which is why I suggested to both Thomas and to Mary that the motions be withdrawn. But you know, here we are, and they're on the table. I just don't know how this adds. I just don't know how this accomplishes anything that is on our plate right now. And we just had a conversation about GNSO resources. Is this the kind of thing we want to devote resources to when they're tight?
Thank you very much, John. Alan?
Yeah, I echo some of what John said. I believe, given that the GNSO has received the last letter from the board from other international organizations, it's inevitable that we will have to embark on a policy development process on this. I object to one of the specific terms in this one, that is saying we have to come up with a definition of the type of organization. I think what we may end up with is an algorithm, not a definition, and that algorithm may well put some of the onus on the GAC to actually define or to identify specific ones. I'm not sure we're able to do this or that we have the standing to do that properly. So I think the term definition is a bit too prescriptive in this particular wording. And moreover, I think this whole thing short-circuits the existing group we have that's looking at the second-level protection for the Red Cross and the IOC in the first round. And I think to have the two parallel operations going on is going to be very difficult to manage. And I really think we should delay this until that group has finished its work, whatever it ends up with. There's a strict time limit on that one, so we're not delaying it forever. But I think we should serialize these and not try to do them in parallel. Thank you.
Thanks, Margie.
Yeah,
Zahid, I've got you. I've got you next.
I just wanted to, as someone who's going to probably be involved in the drafting of the issue report, I just wanted to make sure the council would clarify the intention here. Is this intended to address just new GTLDs or also existing TLDs, since we are talking about second-level protections? So if you guys could clarify that, that would be most appreciated.
I believe it is. There is a mention in the, and this is not my answer because I'm not the one who made the motion, but there's several references to new GTLDs, so perhaps that's kind of a
half answer there, but I'm sure Mary and Thomas can add more detail to it. Let me turn to Zahid and then go back to Mary and Thomas, who are both in the queue anyway.
Thank you, Stefan. I just wanted to say that it's good to see that the NCSG has reached that amendment. It makes it a lot more palatable because there was that. This is one of the things I was really anxious about, seeing the definition there wasn't clear. Thank you for that. So, but in addition to that, I would just sort of chime in with the comments made by John and especially by Alan, and especially his last point, that we have a parallel process currently continuing, and doing this right now may be seen to prejudice what we're trying to do in that group right now, which is supposed to come up with some sort of result in a very short timeline. I'm really concerned about what passing this motion would do to the working group's ongoing work. And if anybody would like to comment on, you know, whether there's some way we can not let that happen, I don't see how that can be done. But if someone can comment on how that, you know, can be protected from anything that happens in this motion, may be helpful moving it forward.
Thanks, Zahid. Thomas.
Thanks, Stefan. I have a question for John and Alan. We do have to deal with the second level protections for the IOCR, CRC anyway. So what? How would you envisage to deal with those without deploying the bottom-up process for our discussion? Likewise, we have seen that the discussion surrounding the first level protections for the IOCRC and RC took an awful lot of time, and I think it's true to say that the second level protection will be much more complicated as a task for the drafting team. So we might end up facing a situation where we haven't been able to complete the work of the drafting team prior to the execution of the first RRAs. And in that situation, we could only put through, if any, these protections by a consensus policy. So if we keep on working with the drafting team only, we might end up being too late and having no legal means to implement those protections. And I think at this point in time, this is not particularly about protecting the names of certain organizations, but this is about protecting the integrity of the GNSO as such. Because if we deal with this only in the drafting team, we might be criticized for not following due process and doing policy by not deploying the PDP. I think we also have to be very cautious about that, because that's something that is very closely looked at in the affirmation of commitment.
Okay. Mary?
Thanks, Stefan. This is actually a follow-up to what Thomas has just said, and I think his sentiments very definitely are echoed by a lot of NCSG members, both from NCUC and NPOC. Couple of points. First, I think it was Alan who raised the word definition as problematic. I would be happy to accept a friendly amendment that changes that word from definition to consideration, if that will help alleviate that concern. Secondly, and again following on from what Thomas has just said, I don't think that us doing this in any way precludes a sort of discussion or tracking, as we should be doing as a council anyway, of what the DT is doing. Recollect that the DT is concerned with specific protections for a specific one-off case, as we've all acknowledged. So in some ways, as Thomas has alluded, that is a little different from what we're trying to do here. I get the point about not wanting to duplicate, replicate, or look schizophrenic. I honestly don't believe we will, because this is somewhat different. There is the integrity concern that Thomas has raised, and certainly I would hope that during the preparation of the report and our discussion of it, because, again, we have public comment periods where the preliminary as well as the final issue report gets discussed and debated, I should think that during those discussions, at least, that consideration of what the DT is doing or has done up to that point will be part of that discussion. So that would be my response to those concerns that have just been raised.
Thanks, Mary. Was someone trying to speak? Okay, don't think so. So we have no more discussion. We have a motion that's been amended, made, seconded, so we will proceed to vote on this motion. I would suggest that we not have a voice vote on this, but do a roll call vote, i.e. I'm objecting to myself asking for a voice vote, so that's done. So, Glenn, could you please do a roll call vote on this, please?
I'll do that, Stefan. Wendy Salter? I'll skip Wendy. Rafik Damak? Rafik, do you vote yes or no? Perhaps he's on mute still. Stefan van Gelder?
No.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Stefan van Gelder for Joost Kieran, please?
No.
Brian Winterfeld? Brian Winterfeld? Bill Drake for Wolfgang Kleinwester, if the council
yeah.
will take the verbal proxy that has been given for Wolfgang.
I don't... Hang on. We've not had a proxy, a proper proxy, have we?
No. In the Adobe Connect chat.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to stick to the procedure here, and this has been the subject of a lot of discussion, proxies, and we've had a procedure. I think we need to stick to it. So unless you've got a proxy through the established procedure, I don't think we can allow Wolfgang's vote.
A proxy has come through by email from Constantinus, who said that he is not able to get to a computer to fill in the form.
Well, if we, you have a proxy by email.
It's not a form filled in.
So what do you have?
Thanks, Bill. Apologies, but I'm not at my computer and I can't fill it in, Constantinus.
Well, I don't think that's a proxy.
And I, Stefan, this is Bill. I subsequently put a request into the Adobe chat about this point, asking if the council would accept that, and several people said yes and nobody objected. So we were hoping
I'm not reading the chat all the time, so sorry, I missed that, Bill. I do not, I mean, we do have some very specific rules on this. I'm not comfortable with circumventing them. So let's do what you've just suggested and put this out to the council as a whole and ask if anyone objects, please. So we are, sorry, the question is, does anyone object to us accepting, who's been named as proxy for Wolfgang?
Bill Drake.
Bill. So does anyone object to Bill being Wolfgang's proxy, noting special circumstances which are connectivity problems for the people who are trying to submit that proxy? Does anyone object to that? Hearing no objections, Bill, please vote for Wolfgang.
Yes. And thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Can I go back to Wendy Salter, please?
Yes.
Rafik Damak? Rafik, are you on the line? On mute? I'll come back to him. John Berard?
No.
Joy Lidicott?
Yes.
Zay Jamil?
No.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
Thomas Rickert?
Yes.
Osvaldo Novo, Wolf Ulrich Knoven, will you please vote for Osvaldo?
Yes.
William Bill Drake?
Yes.
Ching Chao?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoven, for yourself?
Yes.
Lanray Ajayi?
Yes.
Mason Cole?
No.
Jeff Newman?
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Wendy Seltzer, Rafik Damak, are you on the line now?
Yes, and I vote yes.
Thank you. And Brian Winterfeld.
Hi, Glenn, I'm on, and I vote yes.
Thank you very much. The results are... The contracted party house, 4 votes in favour, 3 votes against, so that's 57.1%. The non-contracted party house, 11 votes in favour, 2 votes against, and that is 84.6%. So it passes.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks to you all. Let's move on to... sorry, I've got a request. On item 6, Maggie Sarad has woken up very early to be with us and to present that item. So would anyone object to me switching those two items around and go with item 6 first and item 5 after that? Hearing no objections, can I go then to item 6 and let Maggie and Pam, I don't know if you're on, give us a presentation on the report on this item, please.
Yes, good morning, Stefan, and good morning, everyone on the call. This is Maggie Sarad with me from the ICANN Contractual Compliance Department. On the call, I have Pam Little joining us from Sydney, and Paul Redman, who is also joining us from Marina Del Rey. The objective of this presentation is to provide the GNSO Council an overview of the report that was submitted by ICANN Contractual Compliance on 16 March 2012. The report is submitted by request from the resolution on October 6, 2011, and the objective of the report was to provide a background of uniformity of reporting and the activities underway. Glenn, sorry, do I move the slide or do you?
Marika is in charge of that. Thank you,
yeah,
Maggie.
I gave you control, so if you just move with the arrows, you can move them yourself as well if you want.
Okay. Thank you. On the agenda, what we're going to do is give a report, a request background. We've got the content of the report and address the question that was asked of us at the end, compliance data and policy development. So on slide 4, the report structure that was submitted consists of the following bullets that were by request from the GNSO Council. You wanted us to describe existing systems, improvements and changes made since the RAB Working Group report, improvements and changes foreseen in the near future, and gaps. So before we proceed in the details of the report, giving you a highlight of it, would like to put it a little bit in perspective by giving the GNSO Council an update of where we are with our tools and systems. Slide 5 has an overview of our tools. Currently, for contractual compliance, we have 3 main ticketing systems that we refer to as C-Ticket for consumers, W-Ticket for who is related matters, and UDRP ticketing system. As you can see from the slide, those ticketing systems were created at different intervals throughout the years, and they are separate systems that do not integrate. Therefore, we've got a lot of manual lookups that takes place to be able to deliver on our operational validation of those tickets and follow up and follow through. What we are putting together, so this report projects the 3-year plan that has been put in place since my arrival. We are in year 2 now. By year 3, we hope to reach what we call our future state, which will be one central system that will reflect the common process that we have been working with for over the past few months and have been communicating to the different stakeholders about. This future system should have more of an automated workflow where the complaint administration will be on exception based. This also should allow us to incorporate the complaint management system with what we call the customer relationship system. And we hope to have that also interface with other supporting applications. So we are targeting and to get from current state to future state in different phases, which I will describe shortly. On slide 6, that reflects an overview of the process approach. Many of the team on the call today have seen this process. This is really important because it supports us reaching our future state. In the past, all complaints were managed and processed in a different fashion. We have created, with the support of the stakeholders groups throughout the ICANN community, what we call a consistent approach, where no matter what the intake of the complaint is, we will go into a 3-step process to evaluate, to assess, to inquire, or even yet to issue notices following this 3-step notice, which leads us into enforcement. So this will also be reflected in the tools. The compliance application improvement plan that we list on slide 7 will support the previous 2 slides. How are we going to accomplish that? We have a 3-phase plan, as you see listed here, to help us get to future state. We cannot get to an all-inclusive centralized tool immediately. So the short-term plan is basically to enhance our current systems and our current tools, improve the way we manage the documentation into a more centralized focus, and implement system integration with standardized business processes to the extent that the tools today allow us, because we really need to improve on our reporting and transparencies of the compliance issues and challenges. So the short term has helped us evolve a bit here, and we are on target for the August deliverables. The midterm plan started at the beginning of 2012. It's a parallel effort to the short term. We have been defining and implementing, defining the how and the requirements to consolidate the compliance systems and developing a gradual rollout of the dashboard based on the requirements and the expectations of the different stakeholders. And we are also working on delivering a, what we call a compliance risk and audit strategy approach calendar. Ultimately, the long term will help us get to what we call the future state, where we have would have expanded to a truly centralized solution, and it will be a phased approach to that rollout. Slide 8 is in support of the request and the report, is compliance data and policy development. Would like to highlight to the GNSO Council that it's true in 2011, compliance did receive about 45,000 complaints. And as you see in the pie chart, the complaints have different sources. Our highest volume, as it should not be a surprise, is our WHOIS inaccuracies. Next highest is the customer service, which is a customer service is like a catch-all bucket. Sometimes we receive requests that are not within the scope of contractual compliance, but we still have to make sure they get addressed and transferred to the right people. The next largest is transfer issues. But in summary, the point is not all complaints that we receive are valid, which in the same time, not all valid complaints lead to contractual violations or enforcement actions. As you saw in the process, because of the fact we initiate through prevention before we get to enforcement, we have learned and we hope to, by ICANN 44, bring more transparency to the complaints as they evolve through the phases. And you will see that not all complaints lead to enforcement, because we do get collaborations from the contracted parties and they do resolve the issues that are brought to their attention. Most compliances in Bullet 3 we state are resolved without the need for escalated action. So the fourth bullet here, complaints received by ICANN do not capture all abuses. Am I still on the call?
Yes, you are, Maggie. Carry on.
Okay. All right, good. The data derived from those complaints is limited. The scope is limited to our contractual compliance obligations, even though under customer service we do see a different level of data, but it's not the data that's going to help us drive and develop and make recommendations for policy development. We do recommend to the GNSO that other sources also should be explored if the community decides to develop additional uniform reporting visibility. Like I stated again in the first few bullets, the transparency we're going to bring forward is as it evolves and the types and the geographics of the data. I also want to assure the GNSO Council that compliance has collaborated and continues to collaborate with the policy staff to bring forward recommendations based on lessons learned and based on the data we see in our operational work. With this slide, I think, let me go, I would like to conclude the presentation and open it for questions. It is at a very high level. The report does provide you additional information.
Maggie, thanks. I know it's very early for you. Thank you for giving us that presentation, getting up so early to do so. Can I open this up to questions, please? I see no questions. Marika, did you have some comments on the next steps on this?
Yes, this is Marika. Let me just pull up a couple of slides. I just developed. Here it is. Just to remind everyone where this this discussion all comes from, you know, it all dates back to the discussion that the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group had. And just here on the screen now in Adobe Connect Room, you see actually the council request dating back from the 6th of October 2011, and where the request was made to the ICANN Compliance Department, you know, to report on existing systems, basically asking for that information prior to further consideration of the meta-issue recommendation from the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group. And that recommendation specifically said that the working group recommended that the GNSO and the larger ICANN community in general create and support uniform reporting processes. And that was a recommendation that was adopted with unanimous support. And just to provide a little bit of context around that, because I think the recommendation itself, you know, might not really explain what they were looking for. They did include in their report a list of tentative goals that they saw this effort, you know, should have, should the council decide to go forward. And, you know, just as it here, you know, that should provide just-in-time education and knowledge to people wanting to report problems. It should make it easier to submit a valid complaint. It would hopefully reduce the number of erroneous complaints, improve understanding of the limits of ICANN policies and other options to pursue if the issue is not covered by policy, looking at improving the effectiveness of policy and compliance activities, improving data available for GNSO working groups and ICANN advisory groups, policymaking, improving data for compliance activities, and also trying to answer the question on, you know, what comes first, the policy process or definitive data describing the actual problem, and along with suggestions as to how data can be gathered when it hasn't yet been included in the reporting process. So basically, you know, based on that, it's now for the council to, you know, consider the input that has been received from the ICANN compliance department in the form of their presentation and the report, and if how to address the registration abuse policy recommendation that was made with regard to the issue of uniformity of reporting.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any further comments on this? It appears that there aren't. So we'll move back to item 5 on our agenda today. And thank you once again, Maggie, Pam, and the compliance staff that were on the call for this item. Thank you very much.
Bye. We'll hang up.
So back to item 5, which takes a little bit of explaining. There's been some comment on this item, so Jeff had volunteered to explain and introduce the item, so I'll turn over to him now.
Thanks, Stefan. And you know, I apologize for the title of this because it may be more of a misnomer than an actual GNSO Council comment on a .com contract renewal. But I'd asked this topic to be put on, and the reason I did is because of a statement that was made in the from ICANN staff when they posted the .com renewal agreement. So as kind of a preface to this whole thing, let me just state that, you know, that as a registry, and the other registries agree with me, that ICANN should not be using the contract renewal process as a chance to get into contracts things that fall within the picket fence that a registry does not want to voluntarily adopt. That we as registries do not believe that that is an appropriate use of the contract renewal process. That we think that, you know, basically to do so is to improperly use ICANN's monopoly over this function to circumvent a process that was agreed upon in this industry as the way that our contract should work. So I just want to make that comment. That said, the rest of the comments, you know, I think are going to be a little bit of a surprise to you because they don't necessarily jive with the way you think the position I would take. But I'm very concerned with the notion of how GNSO Council decisions and actions are taken and used by staff in ways in which we may not have intended them to be used. So if you look at the announcement that came up about the .com renewal, there's a paragraph in there that says, moving to maintenance of a Thick Whois database, the question of transitioning a large existing registry to Thick Whois raises operational and other issues that require further discussion and consideration. This has been recognized by the GNSO as that body recently agreed to undertake a formal policy development process in the matter and then cites to the resolution. The problem I have with that is that actually does not reflect our discussion. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the view that a number of people have taken in the council that this should be part of the contract renewal, but as was discussed earlier by Alan and by others in the IP constituency, they did discuss the fact that they had hoped that this would be addressed through the contract renewal process. Again, not that I agree with that, but the point is that it seems like ICANN staff, in putting up that announcement, essentially took the GNSO position out of context and basically used it in what I believe was a way to deflect blame from them to put on the GNSO to say, well, we didn't address the WHOIS issue because the council, even they decided they were going to do a PDP. So to me, that seemed, again, if ICANN staff is going to be taking those positions or is going to be using GNSO decisions to justify a position that ICANN staff has, I believe they should do so very cautiously and in some circumstances should be coming back to the council to make sure that they understand the position of the GNSO before using it as a means to justify why they took a certain action or did not take a certain action. So this is kind of the reason why I wanted this on the agenda. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the note. I mean, I agree with ICANN staff when they say that this should be addressed through a PDP as opposed to the contract negotiation process, but I disagree with the way ICANN staff used the GNSO Council decision as a means to justify that decision as opposed to just saying that things within the picket fence, if a registry doesn't want to adopt, should be handled through the PDP. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering if that made sense. I feel like I babbled a little bit, so.
No, I'm sure you haven't babbled. Thank you very much. That was very clear. And the intent then is to either just make the comments that you've made or take this further and ask for these comments to be either recognized in some way or the announcement be modified or something be done as a result of the comments that you've just made. So two questions to the council, really. First of all, is this discussion one that the council wants to have? And if so, what are the suggested action points from this point on? So first of all, I mean, if anyone wants to speak to this, and if no one does, then I guess we'll have our answer. And it looks like we do have our answer. So, Jeff, I think you've made your points. If I interpret the silence, then the council wishes to drop this item, to drop this now and just leave it as is.
Stefan, this is Thomas speaking. I just have a question. What would be the means or the tools, channels, whatever, for the council to do something about this? Or maybe I can direct this question at Jeff. You know, putting this on the agenda, what outcome did you have in mind?
Well, again, I wanted to see if it bothered anybody else. I'm actually kind of surprised it doesn't bother other people because I know that there are some that are going to file comments on the .com agreement, some negative comments about not including WHOIS on there. So this is, I don't know if it's that people are tired today, that there was, at least up until an hour ago, a looming deadline. But what I hope to get is just a little bit of discussion on this. If it's not, if nobody cares and nobody cares, I mean, it could be just a comment that we filed in the comment process. It could be something as simple as that. Frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that nobody else is raising a point, but okay.
Now, well, Stefan, if I may?
Yeah, can I just clarify the statement that you just made, Jeff? Because not everyone knows that ICANN's new GTLD task system has been taken offline and ICANN has extended the application period to April the 20th, which is the reference you've just made to the looming deadline that we had. So, just to make sure everyone's on the same wavelength there, and back to you, Thomas.
Thank you, Stefan. My silence, Jeff, was not that I don't have a position on this, but that I'm wondering what can be done. I think that your comment is sort of in line with the criticism that was voiced in connection with the IOC, RCRC deadline request by the drafting team. So I think, you know, maybe this is a more general issue on how staff actually supports or interacts with the GNSO Council.
Jeff?
Yeah, no, I think there are a number of things that have happened lately that when you take them all and put them together, are cause for concern. It's like the members from ICANN staff treat some of the things we do as part of their advocacy piece. If they support it, they'll use what they can. If they don't, then they'll argue against it. But again, I'd like to, you know, Bill just posted something on the chat. I'd like to hear a response as to, you know, why that was taken out of context or why that was used to justify the position that ICANN staff didn't include a thick who is in the calm agreement.
So, and let me add to that and try and answer Thomas's question, because you're not doing so, Jeff, which is just a little joke, which is what the first thing that we can do, which is being done as is through this meeting, is that the meeting's recorded, there are minutes, we're having this discussion now, so the discussion that we're having goes into those minutes. So anyone who takes the time to either read the minutes or listen to the recording or read the transcript will get the gist of the discussion that is being had now. So that's the first thing. And once again, if there are people who want to take this further, then they can, but I think clearly there's not a strong desire to do that, and that will also be shown in the minutes of this call. And Jeff, you made a sorry, Alan, you were next.
Yeah, just a quick comment. If I'm reading the documents correctly, the announcement on the comment period for the .com agreement says the GNSO decided to undertake a formal PDP on the subject. And unless I'm mistaken, we did not, and we have not at this point. So I don't see how counsel can just let that go and not at least put a comment in saying that was inaccurate, that was not a reflection of what happened. It was referring to the motion that went forward on the specific things for the first round and through it from a drafting team and not a PDP. So I'm not sure how we can just let it drop, but... not my choice.
Is there anyone from, I mean, staff has been singled out here, and I think it's only fair to give, if you want it, I'm not saying that you should, but does anyone from staff want to respond?
No, it's Liz.
Okay, that's fair enough, no problem.
Well, Stefan, this is Jeff. Just to be fair, this may not be the same staff that was involved with putting that announcement out. So I know Joy had posted something on the chat saying that this was unfair to the staff that was on, and I just want to make it clear that I don't know who's responsible for putting those announcements out, so I'm not blaming all of ICANN staff. I just, obviously someone from ICANN staff put that announcement out, so whatever approvals that had to go through, my point is that it's inaccurate. At best, it's inaccurate, and at worst, it's a little misleading. Because I think when we were discussing, as was just brought up, you know, an hour ago, when we were discussing the thick who is, people did want to wait to see what the outcome of the contract process was, and there were people that were hoping, again, not that I agree with this, but there were people on the council that were hoping that this would be dealt with in the contract renegotiation process, and this report basically uses the decision to initiate the PDP against those people that wanted the contract process to be used for the .com renewal.
Thanks, Jeff. Perhaps I can make a personal comment as well, and then, John, I've just seen your hand up, so you'll be next. But personally, we all apparently are a bit uneasy with this topic, and my personal view is that there is nothing wrong with speaking out if we feel we've been misrepresented in some way as a group, just as long as we make sure that we're not blaming anyone who's not to blame. So I do commend Jeff personally on speaking out, because I think it does take courage to do so, just as long as he's right to speak out. And I have to admit, I've not looked at this in enough detail to be able to determine whether there has been risk representation or not. So it's difficult to, taking it from that, it's difficult to make any further comments. But I also have to add that in my dealings with the staff that support the GNSO, I'm dealing with people that are very fair-minded and always very careful to make sure that what we do is portrayed correctly. So that may also be back to Jeff's point that he feels maybe someone else has been involved here, but certainly the staff that we deal with, I think, are exemplary. John?
So, feeling the sting of Jeff's comments that I, who have been vocal in the past and haven't been saying anything, so I will now say something. I feel that this misrepresentation in the announcement of the in the posting of the .com contract is one of the reasons or one of the outcomes that I had been concerned about when we were in Costa Rica and balancing the value of negotiations versus PDP were central to our discussions. At that point, I thought I did not want to muddy the water. I view this paragraph, the approach in the .com announcement, as mud in the water. The other point is that I believe that it is an institutional problem, not an individual problem. And institutional because either out of trying to bend over perhaps too far or not far at all, you know, it's like, well, they said this, so we can't do that, or I don't want to do that, and I see that they've said this. I believe that's an institutional problem, not an individual problem, which is not something that we can deal with, nor should we deal with here or perhaps at the GNSO Council. It may be a broader GNSO question.
Thank you, John. Any further comments on this? Thank you all. Let's move on. Item 7 is an update on the RAA final issue report and probably more on the status of the negotiations that Margie is going to provide for us. Margie?
Thank you, Sean. Marika's putting up the presentation now. Essentially, this is a presentation that I was going to give in Costa Rica, but we ran out of time in the GNSO Council meeting. So so some of this is going to be a refresher of what was discussed in Costa Rica. And we're just now waiting for Marika to put up the slides. Okay. All right. Oh, my screen's a little slow. Here we go. Okay. So these are the slides from the Costa Rica meeting. Essentially, I wanted to provide you an update as we did distribute the final issue report just prior to Costa Rica. And that's also linked to the status of the negotiations, so I'll give you a brief update on that as well. As you recall, the amendment process was meant to cover several issues, the law enforcement recommendations that had been submitted during the prior work done by the RAA drafting team. The amendment process is also trying to look through the GNSO recommendations that came from the final report published by the RAA drafting team, as well as from staff and from the registrars that focus on topics that are meant to advance registrar protection and deal with stability and security issues. As staff, we've worked through these negotiations primarily from the standpoint of prioritizing the law enforcement recommendations because they were part of the GAC endorsements and some of the communiques that were developed in prior ICANN meetings. And since the CAR resolution where the negotiations were kicked off, there have been a tremendous amount of work done both on staff side and on the registrar negotiation team side, where there were well more than 12 meetings, weekly phone conferences, as well as status reports and information published on this extensive wiki page that I've provided here. If you look through the wiki, you can see that each issue is actually identified and with specificity on where it originated. As Kurt mentioned, in Costa Rica, it's taken more time than expected to do the negotiation because there's, obviously a lot of work that's done on the side of the registrar negotiation team. They have to go and work with their stakeholders to make sure that they have at least a common viewpoint on each of these issues. And as staff, we've also faced difficulties in that we've been trying to focus on the LEA recommendations, yet sometimes it's not exactly clear what the LEA recommendations we're trying to address. And so through the negotiation process, there's actually been consultations with members of the LEA negotiation or the LEA representatives that came up with these recommendations to try to get more clarity on what they were looking for. And as you know, we did not publish a full agreement before Costa Rica because a lot of the amendment topics, as you can imagine, are contingent on agreement on other topics. And so from the registrar standpoint and the ICANN staff standpoint, it was important to make sure that we, we publish a full agreement that reflects everything as opposed to partial issues. As you recall, in Costa Rica, there's also some issues that require a little bit more attention, and particularly from the community, and you saw that in the session in Costa Rica where we had the validation of who is information, for example. That's one area where it's not clear yet where how validation should be dealt with and where we should draw the line with respect to obligations that the registrars might agree to. And so with the next steps, once we get through this process and actually publish an agreement, we were asked specifically what the next steps would be, and the registrars would need to renew their agreement under the new form of the RAA to approve upon a consensus of Internet stakeholders. And this is language from the existing RAA, which indicates that a recommendation would need to be approved by two-thirds vote of the GNSO Council, and there would also need to be a report that documents the extent of agreements or disagreements of affected parties and the outreach to those groups, and then it would be needed to be adopted by the board. So this process is a little, is coming straight from the RAA as it exists today. And then once that happens, there would be approximately a 5-year period where the agreement might come into play because the registrars would sign up to it as their agreements renew. Although, as you may recall, in 2009, ICANN tried to adopt incentives to get registrars to approve the new form earlier, and that might happen as well in this case as we come up with a new agreement that comes out of these negotiations. And then to the extent that there are policy aspects that are reflected in the agreement that may want to be implemented earlier, the GNSO Council could always try to get a consensus policy approved that might bring those obligations into effect immediately as opposed to the limit. And then with respect to the PDP, as you may recall, in FAR, the resolution asked for a PDP on what it called the remaining issues. In other words, what are the items that would be remaining after the negotiations? To the extent that they're not adequately addressed in the RAA, the GNSO Council would be asked to conduct a PDP on those issues. This is one of those issues that we talked about earlier today with respect to prioritization. Depending upon how many issues are outstanding at the point that the negotiations conclude, there may be a whole bunch of work that needs to be done on the GNSO Council side, and there may be overlap with existing policy projects. You look at the work that's being done on WHOIS, the UDRP, best practices, for example. Some of the recommendations talk about dealing with abusive registrations, and that's a little bit of overlap with the best practices work that may be initiated by the council. and then a uniformity of contract as well as another area where there may be overlap. And so our staff recommendation in the issue report was essentially that the council acknowledged that it has received the final issue report, but that we felt that it really isn't appropriate to start a PDP at this time because negotiations have not concluded yet. Our suggestion is that, once there's a report published at the conclusion of the negotiations with the list of items that haven't been addressed, then that would be the point where, the GSA Council could act. And we, given the discussions that took place in Costa Rica, we probably feel it would be appropriate to have the board confirm their instruction that they want a PDT to be initiated on these topics. Because, as you may recall, there seemed to be confusion in Costa Rica as to whether or not the council was required to initiate the PDP on all of the topics, or if the board felt that it should be more at the council's discretion. And if you read the bylaws as they exist today, the council would be obligated to initiate a PDP on all of the remaining items, but it's not clear that all the board members really understood that that was the implications of their resolution. So our suggestion would be to get some instruction from the board when the negotiations conclude about whether, which topics they feel that the council should be mandated to proceed on a PDP. And then on this slide, I've provided you the links for the information where the final issue report is listed. There's also a status report that talks about the status of negotiations as of March 1st, which was right before the Costa Rica meeting. And then I've also provided the link in case any of you missed the validation workshop, which was excellent in Costa Rica and really played up a lot of the issues and highlighted a lot of the issues related to the validation issue. And with that, are there any questions?
Yes, I think Zahid has a question for you, Margie.
Thank you. Thank you, Margie, for that. Unfortunately, I can't see the presentation because I'm on Adobe, and I can't find the link on the agenda page. Would it be possible to send it around? And I had a question. I made a request some weeks ago asking for some sort of a status to see that other than the law enforcement recommendations, what about the recommendations and things that were identified in the high priority items by the GNSO, whether they were part of the negotiation and something could be sort of provided to the council to have a look into that. Is that something that is part of the presentation you just gave, or would you be able to provide that subsequently?
Zahid, it's Margie. Yes, I had that request from Costa Rica, and I'll send it out this morning. I was just going to get internal approval for it. Just so you know, the status report that was published prior to Costa Rica took an extensive amount of time of negotiation between the contract parties, the negotiation team and ICANN staff. It took several weeks just to figure out what should go into that status report. And rather than open up, another discussion on a report versus negotiating the existing agreement, we decided not to take up any of the negotiation team time and prepare another status report. So what I'm going to circulate this morning is a document that identifies the status based upon what was published prior to Costa Rica. So it won't be updated for today, but it will reflect the information that came out of the summary report that was published prior to Costa Rica so that we wouldn't take time away from the negotiations and we would just focus on the negotiations and the issues at hand as opposed to focusing on action and other status reports, if that makes sense.
Thank you. That's actually very good. And we completely understand that it would be not possible to give us a newer version of what happens today. That's completely understandable, not a problem. But the focus is just to figure out that in the negotiations, even if we were to look at it from Costa Rica's point of view, how much of what it said in its report, et cetera, is in there or is in discussion. Just to get a clearer clarity on that, that would be helpful. Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Zahid. John, are you still in the queue, or is this from before?
It's from before, I'm sorry.
No problem. Mary? Mary?
Okay.
Mary?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. This is going to sound incoherent, so I warn everybody. I just wanted to go back to Margie's final, final part of your presentation, Margie, and maybe some of this will be addressed by what you're going to circulate this morning. This comes from some of the discussions we had amongst the council, I guess, in Costa Rica and with the board. And obviously things have progressed since in the negotiation. I think my concern or question remains kind of similar to what I raised previously, which is you had mentioned something about the board not really understanding the import of what they passed. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on that. And secondly, I guess in terms of the negotiations that are ongoing, then when should the council be deciding on what to include in the PDP? It sounds to me that from the recommendations going from the issue report, that essentially we are doing a wait and see until the negotiations have come to an end, whatever end that might be, and then we make a decision based on what's left over. Would that be accurate?
Yes, Mary, I think there would be some sort of report announcement that has been included, and then the report could also identify issues that are still outstanding. Okay, and did you have any further information on the board's lack of understanding that you can share?
No, I'm not involved in the conversation that took place when the Unicef Council met with the board members. And so, I think at that point, we might, when the report gets published, we might perhaps suggest that the council send a communication to the board and say, we understand that many issues are outstanding. You know, is it the board's intent that a PDP be initiated at this point on all of these items, and they could at least give some direction to the council to confirm that was their intent.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Very useful. I see no further hands. We are getting close to the end of this meeting. I have asked Marika if she would be willing to push back her update on the new PDP to the next meeting, and she has very kindly agreed to do so. So, Marika, thank you for that. It's only the second time we're pushing you back, because we had intended to do this in Costa Rica, just as we had intended to have Margie's presentation in Costa Rica, which explains the slides.
Are we still here?
Stefan?
I think we lost Stefan again.
Yes. We'll call out to him.
Well, I think he was ending the meeting, if I recall.
There's still an item under any other business that you might want to get to quickly.
And I can do it real quick, Jeff, if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Sure, thanks. For everybody, this last item agenda, this is Rob Hogarth from ICANN policy staff. The last item is noted as an announcement about the new GNSO website. And given the fact that I had mentioned to all of you in Costa Rica the latest progress on the site, this meeting seemed to be a good chance for a very quick update for you all and a heads up. I'm pleased to report that the small team that's continued to move forward on the development of the site has nearly completed its efforts, and we're planning to take the new site live by the end of next month. But given that the new format is, you know, somewhat different from the present site, and that we've got a substantial quantity of new content, prior to going live, we're planning on an internal ICANN staff review, and we're also expecting to provide an opportunity for all of you, as well as leaders of the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, to review the new site before it goes live. So the purpose of this update was just to let you all know that around the second week of May, you should expect to see a communication from us about a 10-day or so review period. And that communication is going to include the new beta site link, a short presentation to guide you through the new site, particularly the new site design, and also for those of you who we view as power users, areas of interest that we want you to focus on. And we'll ask you, you know, to look at some specific areas, to consider some specific issues about the new site. And we'll also provide a feedback channel, probably a new link or email address where you can send your comments to. And so I just wanted to give you all the heads up that we were going to be doing that. Shortly after that review period concludes, we'll take the new site live after making any corrections or anything like that. And then once that new site is up, as I reported in Costa Rica, we'll then be able to move forward on the web presence efforts for the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies. So please keep your eyes open for that communication. It will be coming in probably 3 or 4 weeks, and we're very excited about the progress that we've made. I'd like to express some special thanks to Barry Cobb for a tremendous amount of leadership and work that he's exercised on getting us to this phase of the project. And that's all I have to say, Jeff. Thanks.
Rob, thanks very much. I'm back once again. And Jeff, thanks for stepping in. So with that, thank you all for your participation in today's meeting. Sorry once again to Marika. You will have priority at the next meeting. And speak to you all very soon. Thank you once again. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye.